What's up?
Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. Happy Friday, everybody. I'm Jamie Dodge. My co-host is Thomas Trance. He covers the team for The Athletic as well. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, working together with you in step. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you, or online at DunbarLumber.com. Drance, how's it going?
I'm fine. I'm not as mad as everyone else.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It's a nice change of pace for you.
If you've come to this program expecting to hear from like the angriest guy, it's like, yeah, I mean.
That was the morning show.
Yeah. First of all, I can't compete with Mount St. Bruff. Why do we never put a saint in it?
Why would you?
Because Mount St. Helena is?
Yeah, that's one mountain. Yeah. There's lots of mountains that don't have it in it.
But Mount St. Helena is like the one locally that...
Also St. Helens, not St. Helena.
Really?
I'm almost positive it's Mount St. Helens. I really don't think it's Mount St. Helena.
Really? St. Helens, huh? Yeah, Mount St. Helena is in Napa. Okay, fair enough. They're different mountains.
You're thinking of a different thing.
Both on the I-5? Come on.
What are the odds? I don't think Mount St. Helens ever exploded.
I should stick to my Mount Shasta.
That's right.
References. Hey, the Vancouver... Oh, look, let's open the whiteboard. We'll get it.
All right, let's go to the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas. Hey, let's focus up, huh?
It is, of course, your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, January 24th. The headlines, mandatory headline. JT Miller, still a Vancouver Canuck. Let's throw Elias Pettersson in there as well. He's still a Vancouver Canuck. And, of course, the other headline, the Canucks continue to dig for rock bottom. Have they found it? We don't know, but they're doing their best. They're trying hard to find it. This time they embarrassed themselves in Edmonton last night. They lose 6-2. I've got some other stuff I need to get off my chest. What do you want to talk about from this game? I mean, we all watched it. We all saw it. It was an embarrassment.
I mean, the problem is it's, there's not new embarrassment. You know, I think that's what bothers me about it, is it feels like an inflection point because of how flat the Canucks were, because they didn't stand up for Quinn Hughes, because they looked disorganized. And, well, you know what? I don't even know if they looked disorganized, although even Pew Suter was diving his F3 in a way that permitted Leon Draisaitl to dissect them over 150 feet. Man, that first goal, we got to start on that first goal, because he easily eludes Connor Garland and Elias Pettersson and traps them both behind the net. And then Pew Suter.
I think it was DeBrusk, wasn't it?
Was it DeBrusk?
I think it was DeBrusk diving in there, yeah.
No, 24. 24 was F3 on that goal. Well, maybe it was 74.
I think it's 74.
Okay. Would make more sense.
Yeah.
And then snookers DeBrusk. Like, if DeBrusk just stays there, he can't try that pass. He can't try a spinning backhand 150-footer. And then Filip Hronek loses his guy.
Now, granted,
he was in a bad spot, but, I mean, that's one of those where it's not fully on the defender. Like, yeah, the defender looks bad on it and could have done better, but also defending Hyman in that spot with absolutely no back-checking pressure, like, good luck to you. You know, like... You're kind of cooked there.
Yeah,
Demko plays poorly, I think it's fair to say. The Draisaitl power play sequence to make it 2-0, how inevitable did he feel? Just so incredibly clear that he was going to manufacture a goal one way or the other. He hits the post and then looks to the heavens. Like, the pressure was just absolutely withering. And then by the time he scores, everyone's like completely mixed up. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those where you wake up and like your head's at the foot of the bed and your dog's on your pillow and you're just like, what happened?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and then Corey Perry trolls the Canucks, ace troll Corey Perry. Got a stern talking to. Teddy Bluger at least tried to get involved. I guess.
At least it's something.
Not enough of a response, clearly, which, by the way, has been something we've seen all season long from this group, that sense that they don't compete for one another. The bad vibes, the lackadaisical effort. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, not only did they play poorly, but they didn't play hard.
No.
And that's kind of been something we've seen far too regularly. We've seen them play hard in fits and starts, but not nearly hard enough. And so I think one thing that I think helps understand this group this core group, I think. And it's been sort of a theme of our analysis for a few years, but I think it's come to bear again. I just think there's an inherent volatility to this group, and it stems from legitimate hockey reasons, and I think probably is amplified by some personality things, true to each of them individually and to them as a group. I mean, Quinn Hughes is obviously the true north for this team, and that's a constant. I don't think there's any volatility with him. He's just truly one of the best defensemen. He is the best defenseman in the game, period. But we've seen with Elias Pettersson, like, Elias Pettersson is a great player, and yet we've now seen, like, 4 and 12 month stretches where his game looked outright juiceless.
Mm-hmm.
And yet when he's on, he's legitimately a top 7 centerman in hockey. And he's been that more often than he hasn't been, like 75% of his career. How do you explain that? 75% of Pettersson's like 450 game career, he's looked like a top 7 incredibly dynamic centerman in this sport. And then for the other 25%, you're like, oh, is he a third liner?
Yeah.
Is he a second liner?
I am very open to theories. Have we had one convincing theory about what's happened since it's happened? Really?
No.
Like, I don't buy any of them.
Well, I still think there was some injury context. And I think the fundamental is that I'm not sure that Pettersson has leveled up his game.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that his preparation is up to snuff, based on what I hear behind the scenes. And as a result of that, I think when he is right, when things are 100%, I think his calibration as a player allows him to dominate. But I don't know that he has like a B game so that he can continue to be effective at 95%. Like, I think everything has to be right for him as a precision instrument to succeed. And I think that's a problem.
That's a massive problem.
But it's something we talked about all summer, right? Like, it's something, I mean, this has been, that's the only theory that I've got, is that Pettersson is a precision instrument, and when he's off 5%, it looks like he's off 40%. That's my only theory.
Yeah.
Then you've got JT Miller, who's an even year player. On even years, he is a dominant force, and on odd years, for some reason, he is not. And I don't know what's going on. Now, I think there's some additional volatility there, in that when things are good for your team, I think JT Miller adds a significant...
Can amplify.
Yeah, exactly. He's an accelerant.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you have a fire going and you throw in some JT Miller brand lighter fuel, you might have a real firestorm of brewing. But you can't start a fire without a spark. And I worry that... What? What?
That's a Bruce Springsteen lyric.
Yeah, there you go.
Dancing in the dark, baby.
Well, that's exactly what the Canucks are doing. So,
what a song.
I'm not, I want to be so clear. I'm not your boomer sports writer who's just like worshiping at the altar of Springsteen.
I love Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I'm like
huge Springsteen guy.
I'm okay with him. He's not really not my guy.
Love Bruce Springsteen.
More Matt Good. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, And so I think what can happen with Miller, and I think we've seen it across the last month too, I think when this team is going well, I think JT Miller can add a gear to a front runner team and make them like consistently chase that excellence, right? Things are good and they'll keep going good, and Miller's a key reason why they'll continue to go good. But I think when things go poorly, I don't know that he's the guy who can, like, emotional leader guy, be in the foxhole and get things turned around. I think instead, whether it's because of his emotions or because of how he plays, because of the defensive gaps in his game, I think when things begin to fall apart, they really fall apart on him. And I don't know that he's like the answer for you. And then you've got Thatcher Demko, and Thatcher Demko's had durability issues across the last few years. And so I think when you put together like star goalie, but not always available, and sometimes when he comes back from injury, it takes him a bit to find his game. We saw that in 22-23. We're seeing that now. Pettersson, if he's off a little bit, he's off a lot. And then JT Miller, probably the single most volatile player in the game. And I'm just talking about results, right? This is nothing to do with mental health or personality. Like, just results. One of the most volatile players in the game, year over year. And I think that's sort of how you explain the last 6 years, right? Like, in an increasingly star-driven league, this team, in 2 of 6 years... has, like, they, you know, in the bubble, people were like, they're the next Blackhawks, right? Like, people were like breathless about it, mm-hmm. because it looks pretty good. Now, they don't they've never, across this entire 6 years, they've never controlled play like an elite team. And I think that's important to note. But there's enough skill there that when things are working for this core, they look great. But there's also so much volatility, and things have more often fallen apart on them than they have gone their way. And so here we are, you know, sort of as the team considers what to do and seems to be waiting detonation. And I think it's worth just noting, like, one thing we should remember about this group, I think, or one thing we should consider about this group is, are you willing to live with the volatility? And, you know, are you? Like, can you build a cup team that's like, you know, they've got stones. They can overachieve. You can get everything moving in the right direction, but you're not going to be one of those, like, we're in the playoffs every year. We're a consistent elite team. Teams. And I think that's baked in. Like, whether this group is dismantled or not in the weeks to come, like, I just think we need to accept that year to year there's going to be some volatility inherent in this group.
Well, that's, I just think
that's who they are.
Accept it if you're moving forward with this group,
right?
And which, and increasingly looks like it's not going to happen.
And by the way, I think not the fact that this volatility is, like, fundamentally based on how good their goaltending is and whether or not they're finishing like one of the, you know, model breaking teams in the league, as opposed to they're a group that always controls play and finds a way. I think that tells you everything you need to know. Like, I just don't think this is.
Well, it'd also be one thing if their performance was volatile and the vibes were different. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
If they were like, hey, things are down right now, but we still believe. But it's the exact opposite of that.
Well, when they fall apart, they do look like they've, you know.
Like they're lost.
Like they're lost.
Like they're completely lost.
You don't want to use the quit word, but certainly, like, the effort level flags when things begin to go against this team. Which is kind of why I was always sneering last year at the, like, we're a resilient team thing. It's like, I don't know, because we said it throughout last season, like in the early part of last season when we weren't sure how good that team was. One thing I kept saying, like, every year we see this, when things snowball against this team, can they arrest it?
Yeah.
You know, and a year and a half, we never saw things go badly for them for long enough that it mattered last year. But I mean, I think we are seeing it again now.
And this text comes in, who can fix this volatility, the coach or management? And I think ultimately there is only one fix, and it's personnel. It's changing the core, changing the group, changing the mix.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the moment we're at. And I know we got to continue with the whiteboard here and we got to get into the broadsheet. And as you said, like, it's silly to look at last night as an inflection point because there's been so many potential inflection points with this group, and it's never amounted to anything. But As the texter says, like, ultimately, this isn't the coach or management. This has to be personnel changes. So we're all waiting for those. And I just got to say, I am getting increasingly tired of the fretting and hand-wringing about losing a JT Miller trade or the consequences of trading Brock Besser and what that's going to do to the team. Yeah, all the, like, everyone's like, oh, what, think about the downside. What happens if you lose a JT Miller trade? What are you scared of? The downside, we're living through downside scenarios right now watching this team. Like, some of the arguments for not doing a JT Miller trade, for holding on to it, right? Well, they'll miss the playoffs if you trade Miller. Yeah, probably. But you know what? They're already out of a playoff spot right now. And they miss the playoffs regularly with JT Miller in the lineup. They can miss the playoffs with him. Yeah, they can miss the playoffs without him in the lineup as well. That doesn't scare me that much because, again, you're already living through that. Or the other one is, he's the emotional leader of the team. Who's going to replace that if you trade JT Miller? He's the emotional leader of the team. It's a good point. You know, what if they traded Miller and all of a sudden they looked mentally fragile and didn't push back, didn't fight for each other? Wouldn't want that to happen. You absolutely have to avoid that. And so then sometimes people say, you know, well, if they're going to lose a trade, I'd rather them just hold on to everyone and see if they can figure this out. You want to bet on this group? This group to try to figure things out? They've been trying to figure things out for 6 years. And they're essentially back at square one. And this doesn't just apply to a JT Miller trade, by the way. He's the one who's been out there the most. So that's the one we've been talking about and I'm focusing on. But, you know, maybe they trade Brock Besser. He's a UFA. And you'll hear, you know, well, hey, he's the longest tenured Canuck. You know, he's so popular in the room. He's well-liked by his teammates. Yeah, you don't want to upset the chemistry of this group because it's perfect right now. Pitch perfect chemistry. You don't want them to lose their sunny disposition, their chipper attitude if you trade Brock Besser.
Their can-do attitude.
wouldn't want to upset the apple cart in the room by trading a really popular guy like Brock Besser. And then, you know, the one that comes up the most, and I do have some time for it in a way. Well, you can't trade all these guys. You can't start a retool because Quinn Hughes won't stand for it. Only 2 years until he's a free agent. He's going to go to New Jersey if you trade all these guys. You think Quinn Hughes likes what's happening right now? You think this is what he signed up for? You think he's saying to management, hey, guys, stay the course. Stay the course, fellas. Steady as she goes. Couple of more humiliating losses. I think we're going to turn this around.
Loved when no one stood up for me getting body slammed to the ice.
I'm really enjoying myself out here. If your priority is keeping Quinn Hughes happy, and that's totally fair. That's a good priority to have.
Yep.
As you said, he's the best defenseman in the league. Awesome. If that's your priority, you should be making moves ASAP. You should be starting a retool right now and praying you can put a competitive team around him before his contract is up. The worst thing you could do to Quinn Hughes is ask him to waste more of his prime years on teams like this. Like that, I can't think of a better way to sewer your relationship with your captain than asking him to keep living through this time after time after time.
I first of all, someone grab this man a Kaiser bun because he's on a roll. Secondly, we've got a lot of questions in the inbox, and I've noticed it increasingly around town, which is fun because I swear it's everyone mowing my lawn, which is the Thomas. This is a texter, Jake and Nanaimo. Does management deserve more of the blame looking at the decor they built over the summer? Hey, everybody, this team can't move the puck well enough. That's my bit. That said, I do think we have to recognize that there's levels to the fatal flaw thing. Okay? There have been years where the Canucks have come into the season and I genuinely believed that they were playing with two hands tied behind their back because of their lack of puck moving on defense. This team has the best defense pair in hockey on it, in Quinn Hughes and Filip Hronek. Okay? Yeah.
Half the game, like half of their even strength minutes, almost time Quinn Hughes is on the ice.
It's the parallel paths thing, but it has to be applied here. If you're telling me that management built a stodgy defense core that struggles to move the puck, and for that reason they're not going to be able to hang with contender caliber teams in the playoffs, I would say, amen, brother. But if you're coming and telling me this team, all of these issues, if only they'd built a blue line, they built a blue line that moved the puck well enough that this should be a clear playoff team with the talent on this roster. This is not, wow, they built a defense so bad that they can't possibly succeed as a 95-point team defense core.
Or this is like, come on, you think Elias Pettersson is on pace for 55 points?
Yeah.
Because they lost Nikita Zadorov and Ian Cole?
Yeah, no, that's ludicrous, right? They need to move the puck better. I don't like the blue line they assembled. It will hold them back from being a contender. There's still too much talent here for that to explain what we're seeing in terms of a flagging effort, a group that doesn't want to compete for each other, that doesn't stand up for each other, that gives off some of the worst vibes of any hockey team in the NHL right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my view anyway is there were years where this core group wasn't adequately supported toward the end of the Benning era. Then you had some transitional years, especially under Boudreau, where I think it's fair to say, hey, look, we didn't have the structure in place to play the right way. And then this team bought in and played the right way for a year. They did. They also got lucky, but they also played really good hockey. Like, both things are true. Oh, my God, Sat. Get out of my head. It is true that they played great hockey last year. They also had some good fortune. But this core has enough now. Like, this core has enough to be at least a consistent playoff team this year. To have repeated as a playoff team this year. They have less points than the Calgary Flames. They are 20th in the NHL in point percentage. 20th, man!
They have fewer wins than Calgary, fewer wins than Utah, fewer wins than most of the teams in the Eastern Conference playoff chase.
They have fewer points than the Columbus Blue Jackets.
They have a worse goal differential than any of the teams in the playoff hunt. They have fewer wins than the Seattle Kraken.
That's wild.
They've won 16 out of what, 48 games, 47 games? They've won 16 out of 47 games. Now, the Kraken have played two more games.
Haven't they won 20?
Sorry, 16 regulation wins,
okay,
I should say.
Got it.
16 regulation wins, I should say, which is, again, one fewer than Seattle has.
Yeah.
So they've won in regulation, they've won 16 out of 47 games. That's like one third of the time they win in regulation.
Yeah, no, it's no. Hey, but they're above 500.
That's true.
Anyway, yeah. Fundamentally, you can blame management. You can talk about Rick Tocchet's system. You know, Tocchet's made some conservative decisions that I disagree with. Management has, you know, made some bets that haven't panned out. I disagreed with their overall decision. I actually quite admire their execution in following what I've long considered to be the wrong path. All of that's fair. This group of players has enough to at least put a spirited effort and be eighth in the West. At the very least, that should be the absolute floor for this team. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they've fallen short of that, there is only one that's on one group, and it's those players on the ice, period. There was enough here for them to make the playoffs, for them to be better than the Calgary Flames, mm-hmm. for them to be better than the St. Louis Blues. There is no argument for me there. Like, that is evident. In my view. All right, should we rifle through the rest
of this? Yeah, we'll run through it. And there's a lot of text coming in, especially about Elias Pettersson off my little rant there. We'll get into them, don't worry, throughout the course of the show, because I've got thoughts on that too. But quickly to the broadsheet here, probably the biggest piece of news kind of percolating today, Frank Saravalli indicating that not only are the Canucks ready to move on from JT Miller, but that JT Miller is ready to move on from the Canucks as well. And I know, you know, Bruff made the point to Dhaliwal in the morning show. Is it basically semantics at this point, the idea that Miller didn't ask for a trade? And this is something you and I talked about earlier in the week as well, right? Maybe he didn't initiate it. Maybe he didn't go and say, hey, I got to get out of here. But he knows what's going on and he's a participant in the process. This is a mutual effort to move on between JT Miller and the Vancouver Canucks right now. Rick Dhaliwal also reporting that Canucks still listening on Elias Pettersson in addition to JT Miller. And Nick Kiprios, who was on Donnie and Dolly, saying there are multiple teams in on Miller, including the New York Rangers and Carolina. And I know Frank Saravalli last night also kind of poured cold water on the report that it was Rangers or bust for JT Miller. So that's the quick roundup there in the broadsheet. And obviously we can pull at those threads later in the show too. I should mention Woodley's joining us in the next segment. Dimitri will join us as usual at 1:30. Lineup notes, day off today. So nothing to dig into there. They play the Washington Capitals. Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals on Saturday at Rogers Arena. It's going to be a fascinating scene at Rogers Arena. Playoff standings update. Canucks playoff chances continue to be in free fall, now down to 62% in Dom's model at the Athletic. Calgary and Utah both won last night. Calgary now 3 points up with a game in hand. Utah 1 point back with the same number of games played. And as I mentioned, both teams have more wins than the Canucks and a better goal differential than the Canucks. So if you're starting to look for the statistical markers of, oh, hey, this is a team that's going to turn things around and easily surpass these other teams in the standings, it's pretty tough to find them right now. Anything you want to chip in the betting odds here, Trancer?
Yeah. Today is an interesting day because Vancouver, the Canucks, have gone into sub 50% territory in terms of their futures odds to make the playoffs. They are now plus 105, which is about a 47% implied probability of making the playoffs. The Calgary Flames are up to plus 180, and you can still get the Utah Hockey Club at plus 250 if you like money. I don't know if you like money. I don't know if you like money, but if you do, the Utah Hockey Club still available at plus 250. Steal.
All right.
What a steal.
Yeah, they looked pretty good last night. That's the whiteboard for today.
So much better than the other teams in this mix.
And they're fun and exciting.
They run.
Anyways, that's the whiteboard for today. As I mentioned, Kevin Woodley. We haven't even mentioned Thatcher Demko, or barely mentioned Thatcher Demko right now. So we'll get into that, but also just the whole situation the Canucks find themselves in with Kevin Woodley next here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.